Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org.
Garrett Oliver, brewmaster of Brooklyn Brewery. You are like the king of beer. You are like, you have done it all. You have written about beer. You are one of the world's most renowned brewmasters. You have tasted it, made it. You're like the pope of beer.
And
to be here in your presence, this is a religious experience for me.
I would love to be infallible, but I'm afraid it doesn't quite work that way.
Oh, beer, it's okay.
But brewmaster, though, is a pretty good title, you have to admit.
That is. What really does that involve on a daily basis?
Well, basically, I'm the chef of the brewery. I think that's the best way to think of it. So I like to say I am the liquid.
I am the liquid. Taste the liquid.
The idea of the beer, the smell, the flavor, the aroma, all the concepts behind it, the recipe, and then the equipment, the other brewers that we have working with us, their training, the quality control, everything from start to finish. So my responsibility starts with the concept of the beer, and it kind of ends with your empty glass and a smile on your face. That's the way I hope it works.
It really is a science. I guess part art, part science.
And that's what makes it interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think that, I come out of a film background, and when I was going to school, we were learning about something that's very similar mentally. You need art and you need science to make great films. And if you have science with no art, you end up with the equivalent of industrial beer. Maybe a Jerry Bruckheimer movie. One of those things that you go to, yeah, and you leave the theater and everything was perfect. The actor's teeth was perfect. The sound was perfect. The color was perfect. The picture was perfect. And that's 2 hours of your life you'll never get back because it was no plot development. You didn't care about the characters. And you said, why did I go see this movie? It was awful. And in a way, I think industrial beer has tended to be like that. It is perfect in a certain way. It has from a food quality standpoint, it does everything it's supposed to do, only the thing that it's supposed to do isn't very interesting. Mm. So you have to have both something to say and the ability to actually say it.
Yes. Now, how does one go from a film background to one of the world's leading experts on beer?
Move to England.
Really?
first lose your mind, then move to England. So I got my degree, qualified me to drive any color cab that I wanted, I decided to leave New York, where I was poor and had my new degree, and be poor in London. And I was stage managing rock bands, and at the same time, I was going to the pub. And at the pub, I discovered this stuff called beer. Now, when I was in college, I thought we were drinking something called beer, and we called it beer, but what I discovered when I moved to Europe in 1983 was that beer was this whole different thing that I knew nothing about.
So England really has a style of beer making.
It has a style of beer making all its own, and then I went to Germany and found that they had a completely different type of beer making, and I went to Belgium and found what they were doing. By the time I got back a year later, it was 1984, and I had a completely different taste in beer. And I went out to the pub, and they're like the same three beers that there always were, that tasted exactly the same. And I was like, no, I can't do this anymore. I can't drink this stuff anymore. And I started making beer at home because I wanted to have it. Wow. To a lot of younger people, it sounds ridiculous. Like, what do you mean? It's like, no, there was no craft beer.
Yeah. Now, you have judged beer as well as, brewed it. What do you look for when you taste a beer? What really are the hallmarks of a great beer?
For me, I think, balance, structure, drinkability. within the brewing industry, I'm known for if one thing besides the books is what I call the four pint principle, which means that for most of our beers, I'm not talking about the big, 11% kind of things. Most of our beers, I want you to want four pints. When you start drinking it, I want you to say, you know what?
That's the litmus
test. This is really nice. I'm going to get tucked into this. Now, maybe you shouldn't if it's like Blast and it's 8%. I want you to have that reaction to it, but I also want you to know that you shouldn't have four pints because that might not end so well.
Indeed. So let's talk about Pittsburgh for a moment. We're here at the Good Taste Pittsburgh event, Brew and Chew, first annual. Pittsburgh recently, I saw in an article, they said had more bars than any city in America. And that surprised me. I mean, more so than Milwaukee and things like that. So that had to, had to lift your eyebrows there. What are your thoughts and perspectives on Pittsburgh as far as a beer town?
Well, I mean, one thing I love about Pittsburgh is that, to me, Pittsburgh reminds me of Brooklyn, because it's a place that had a great past, an industrial past, a lot of immigrant population, et cetera, got kind of knocked on its butt, in the second half of the 20th century, dusted itself off, got up, and said, we're back. And that's Brooklyn, and it's Pittsburgh. I mean, 10 years ago, if I wanted to go to, out to where the brewery was, a cab wouldn't take me. It's like, oh, we're not going to Brooklyn. Brooklyn? No way. And when Brooklyn Brewery started, people thought we were crazy. It's like, why would you name a brewery after Brooklyn? Brooklyn's horrible. Crooklyn. It's like, you would tell people overseas, like, oh, I live in Brooklyn. Oh, have you been shot? That's kind of the reputation that we have.
It's on the map for good beer now.
It's on the map for good beer and lots of other cool things.
Yeah.
And I think Pittsburgh's becoming very much the same kind of thing. It's like, people used to, look askance. Oh, it was Rust Belt. It was this and that. And now people's like, oh, I hear Pittsburgh's pretty cool.
And they've got an appetite for beer, as we're certainly going to see
certainly
today.
True.
So you've been with Brooklyn Brewery now for 20 years?
20 years this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent. And we have here some of the fine products of Brooklyn Brewery. Let's take
my
a look
kids.
At Yes. So are these some of your favorites then?
Well, they're all my favorites,
of course,
but they're all just very different one from the other. We kind of have, the flanking ones on the outside. Actually, Brooklyn Brown Ale was one of the two beers that we had when I first came on. We had Brooklyn Lager and Brooklyn Brown Ale, 1988 and 1990, respectively. I came on in 1994. And the first beer that I did was Black Chocolate Stout, which is still a favorite seasonal. It comes out every October. And it's usually around until the early spring. And then these are a bit of a sort of newer generation of beers that have come out in the last few years. Local 2, which is kind of dark, strong Abbey, and Sirachi Ace, which is a Saison made with the Sirachi Ace hop. And both of these are bottled flat and 100% re-fermented in the bottle. So they're kind of made in that champagne-like method, which actually originally comes from beer.
Yeah, I'll bet it does. Excellent. So we'll be looking forward to trying a few of these today. So what's the next big thing for Brooklyn Brewery? What you got brewing?
Well, we have there's a lot of things going on. The next thing that I can tell you about is that in March we're going to open a brewery in Europe. We're going to open in Stockholm.
Wow.
And that's called New Carnegie, kind of named after the old Carnegie Brewery that makes Carnegie Porter, together with a couple of partners there who came on and said, hey, do you want to do this with us? And Stockholm is like my, a second home for me now. I've been there so many times. We know so many people. It's such a great, a great city. And, we're invited to be the operating, partner, in this venture. And so I hired a Swedish brewing team. I just like saying Swedish brewing team, by the way.
Yeah.
Just that, it's like, this is my Swedish brewing team. And they are really great. And we're going to be inventing all new beers,
wow.
For our Swedish friends. So, we get a lot of Swedes in New York coming to visit the brewery. And, we're over there all the time. So it's going to be great to kind of, spread that love around.
So the industry, seems to be like it's constantly evolving. Maybe techniques as well. Are there any, kind of cutting edge ways to produce and brew? What's kind of like on the beer technology side of things on the horizon?
Well, I'd say
now?
The biggest thing happening at the cutting edge right now, the avant-garde stuff, if you like, is sour beers.
Really?
Beers that have some acidic edge to them. I mean, for a long time, the American American craft beer was all about hops for a while. Now some people are saying, okay, hops are great, but you know, you can overdo it. Mm. You know, some people are looking for a little bit more balance. They're also looking for beers that are interesting, bold, but also the word is sessionable, you know, meaning that you can sit down and have four of them. So that idea has actually come, you know, into vogue. So, you know, I mean, people producing beers that are, say, you know, 3.5, 4, you know, percent, rather than everything being 10%, you know, and I think that's a great thing. And then, you know, the sour beers is really a throwback, you know, to the wild fermented beers that people were making, you know, hundreds and thousands of years ago. And that's kind of where beer originally comes from. It was all the yeast that was in the natural environment, and it would give you something that was pretty funky by today's standards. And that funk is something that people are definitely looking to bring back. It's just like cheese, you know, you get the great cheeses of the world. Some of them, they taste great, but if you want to describe what Stilton smells like, you might want to eat the Stilton, but the descriptive words don't sound so great.
Yeah. There's an art to that, too. There I think which you've certainly got mastered as well, really putting words to taste. I mean, that has got to be an art.
It is an art, and it's actually it's a lot harder than you would think at first, because, you know, you can easily end up using the same words over and over and over again.
Do you find yourself inventing words?
I have invented some words, definitely.
What are some Garrett Oliver terms?
Well, you know, I mean, one word that I've made up, you know, and it was about Sriracha Ace, is pre-sed, P-R-E-S-A-D, and that is the state of being sad in advance when you're currently happy. It's sort of like, you ever get an amazing dish in front of you and you start eating it and you're like, this is amazing, and you're already sad that it's going to be gone in 5 minutes, at the same time as you're amazed by the first bite, you're like, oh my God, this is going to be over in 10 minutes. That's horrible. You know, it's like being on vacation somewhere in the tropics and it's Thursday afternoon, you know you're going home on Saturday.
Indeed.
You know, pre-sad.
Pre-sad.
You know, and when I have a great beer, you know, I say, you know, this is really great, and eventually I won't be drinking it, and that'll be terrible.
Well, I hope that catches on in Pittsburgh. I know we're big fans of Brooklyn Brewery beers here, and we'll be tasting some today, and we look forward to great things to come from Garrett Oliver and Brooklyn Brewery. Thanks for chatting with us today here in Pittsburgh. It's great to have you.
It's great to be part of it. Thanks.
Bravo.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.